Hello, hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Self-Help Podcast. I'm your host, Kayla, and I am so beyond grateful to be sitting here and filming this podcast episode for you. I have been thinking about this podcast for a while now, and I'm finally here doing it. And today we are going to be talking about self-sabotage. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you about this today is because me not filming this podcast sooner was self-sabotage, whether I wanted to believe it or not. And the reason why I wanted to film this podcast and the reason why I want to create this is so that other people can have a source to come to for their self-help needs. I am a higher self-activation coach, but previously I was not living in my highest potential. I was in and out of a mental hospital. I was struggling with alcohol and drugs and men, and I was struggling a lot. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create this podcast, was so that people can have a place to come for self-improvement and self-help. I did want to talk about self-sabotage today. Like I said, me not starting this podcast sooner was a form of self-sabotage. Now, what is self-sabotage exactly? Self-sabotage is when you are kind of unintentionally, it can be intentional or not intentional, like it can be subconscious or conscious. And for the most part, I notice it subconsciously within myself. I don't really do it consciously anymore, but some people do it consciously. I self-sabotage subconsciously, and that's almost like the worst type of self-sabotage, because sometimes you're not even aware that you're doing it. Self-sabotage can come in many forms, and we can self-sabotage for very different reasons. A lot of the times we self-sabotage because we don't like change in our life, and we know that if we do certain things to prevent ourselves from changing, then we will stay comfortable and we will stay stuck in that little bubble that we've always been comfortable in, and we won't have to change. But change is a constant in life, and it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So you can either embrace it or you can resist it and self-sabotage. For me, what I've noticed, the easier way is to just embrace it, because self-sabotaging, like, it's not cute, it's not fun. And once you realize you do it, you're just kind of like, oh my God, do I really hate myself that much? And honestly, it can come as a form of self-hatred as well. And you might not necessarily feel like you totally hate yourself, of course, but it's a spectrum, right? I mean, I feel like any type of self-love or self-hate can come in various different forms, and you can love certain things about yourself, but you might also actually hate certain things about yourself. And I feel like when we self-sabotage, sometimes it really does come as a form of not loving ourselves in the way that we need. We enjoy what is familiar because that's all we've ever known. And even recently, I've experienced so much joy in my life to the point where it almost hurt a little bit. Like, I was so happy that it hurt. Like, it was weird. I was so happy to the point where I was like hurt, because I knew I would need to leave my old life behind. There's always something that you need to let go of when you're changing. That also comes as a form of grief as well, and we need to grieve these things as well. What can self-sabotaging look like? So a big form of self-sabotage is procrastination. And let me give you some examples of the way that I was doing this. For instance, I'm doing yoga teacher training, right? And I go to this yoga studio, like, literally not too far from me. It would be amazing to work there. I am self-employed, and I don't really like to have a boss, but I do want to work at a yoga studio for funsies. Like, I want to work at a yoga studio to share my knowledge of yoga with others and to share my practice with others. But I have been self-sabotaging by not getting my yoga teacher training done. Even the owner of that studio has asked me several times when I'm going to be done with my yoga teacher training, because she wants to hire me. And even teachers at that studio have reached out to me via Instagram or even in person, asking me when I'm going to be done with my yoga teacher training so that I can work there. The thing is it would be an amazing place to work. I love that yoga studio so much. I go there every single week. It's literally an 8-minute walk away from me. It's so convenient, and I just love the vibes there. I love the people that go in there. It's just overall so awesome. And for some odd reason, I was self-sabotaging by not getting my yoga teacher training done. It's almost like they asked me, oh, when are you going to be done with your yoga teacher training? And then I just decided to like procrastinate and not do it because I don't know why, but maybe I was afraid of change. Maybe I was afraid of changing a different career path because I am in the mix of changing my career path right now. I'd actually like to say that I've already transitioned because I don't really do it anymore, and I really need to celebrate that as well. But I used to do sex work. Let me elaborate on this. I used to do OnlyFans. I also used to do fashion content on YouTube, which I have privated all of the videos now because it just doesn't resonate with me anymore. That's just a part of my past and it's taught me a lot. Along this journey of changing my career path, everything is happening so fast and I've been kind of afraid of change, and these wins are coming so rapidly and my growth is coming very rapidly, and it's almost like everything I've ever wanted is happening and I'm resisting it. And I'm resisting it because I felt so comfortable struggling. Why did I feel so comfortable with struggle? And this is something that I went through very recently. I was struggling so much throughout my life, you know, in my relationships with people. I've had to cut some people off very recently, and it hurts. Like, it hurts to let people go. It hurts to let circumstances go and jobs go, and, you know, your sense of security and safety is just gone in a sense because you don't have what was keeping you safe for so long. And it served a purpose at one point in your life, but there is a point where it is going to hurt so bad to the point where you have absolutely no choice but to not self-sabotage any longer. And that's what had happened to me very recently. And I noticed that I was so comfortable in struggle. And there was actually this day, and it was the Lionsgate portal, right? And it was 8-8, August 8th. And I was the happiest that I have been in so long. Like, I was so happy that day. And that night, I broke down crying because I knew that everything in my life, as I knew it, was gone. Like, I had to grieve the old version of myself. And I think that that's not talked about enough because I think people, when they talk about shifting timelines and jumping, like quantum leaping and stepping into your highest potential, you don't really hear of people talking about grieving the old part of yourself. And I feel like if we don't do that, there's always going to be that little voice there of like, I want to go back to that. When in reality, we know it's not good for us, and maybe we were treated really poorly, and we know that we don't deserve certain things, but we have this desire to go back to it because it was comfortable and it was familiar. But there comes a point in life where you have to hop off the struggle bus, and this is where self-care comes into play. How I counteract self-sabotage is self-care. And the way that I do this is when I recognize that I'm self-sabotaging, like maybe I'm procrastinating, maybe I'm avoiding certain people, maybe I'm avoiding really awesome situations like networking events, maybe I'm avoiding that. You know, self-sabotage can come in so many ways, and you kind of have to figure out the ways that you are self-sabotaging because it comes so different to different people. But for me, a big one is procrastination of the things that I want in life. And what I've noticed is there were certain aspects of my life where I did not grieve losing my old identity. I did not grieve losing people in my life. I did not grieve certain situations. And that's kind of a theme in my life this year in 2024. And it's interesting because I sat with this plant medicine called ayahuasca back in November. And she told me that 2024 would be a really rough year. And I lost my brother this year. I lost a really close relationship this year. It's been a year of grieving for me. And I have really had to grieve my old identity, my old self, just everything. It's a huge lesson I've learned this year is grief and being able to sit with the emotions that grief brings. And one thing that I've also noticed is that when you're grieving, you don't necessarily have to only be grieving. You know, two things can exist at once, meaning you can grieve and then you can also feel joy in other areas of your life as well. You don't always have to be grieving. You can be feeling millions of different emotions in the span of a week, you know? And it may feel like an emotional roller coaster, but what it's actually teaching you is what it's like to feel all of the different emotions on the vibrational frequency scale. It is actually a very beautiful thing because the more that you allow yourself to feel lower vibrations is an opportunity to feel higher vibrations. And that's one of the things I've noticed too, is I felt really, really low lows this year that I have never ever experienced in my life. At the same time, I've also experienced really high highs that I've never experienced in my life. And don't get this confused with bipolar, I'm not bipolar, but I'm experiencing the full spectrum of the vibrational frequency scale, all of the different emotions that a human being is able to feel. I do want to say the only time I've ever experienced enlightenment was on ayahuasca. That was a trippy feeling. But I also have been able to experience many, many different emotions that I've never felt before this year. And it is a truly beautiful thing to experience even the lowest of emotions, because even with the lowest of emotions, like I said, it does give you the opportunity to feel the higher emotions. What I like to do when I notice that I'm self-sabotaging is I like to sit with it. And like I said, this comes in the form of procrastination for me. And I'll sit with it and say, okay, why am I procrastinating right now? And why am I not loving myself right now? Because, for instance, something that I've wanted to do was this podcast, and I've procrastinated it, I've made excuses about it, all these different things, right? Oh, it's not time yet. Oh, this, oh, that, right? When really I could have just sat down and filmed it. But anyways, I had to sit with myself and say, okay, why am I not loving myself enough right now to do this? And I had to sit with that. And sometimes there's not even an answer. Sometimes it's just that you're so comfortable and stuck in your familiar patterns to where you just have to create a new habit or a new ritual or a new thing that you do in life. And new things can be scary, but they're also exciting at the same time. And sometimes we get scared of the excitement because what comes with excitement might also lead to disappointment. And I feel like our brains are sometimes wired to think of all the negative things that could go wrong, when in reality, there are so many more things that could go right. And that being said, when I realized it wasn't actually that I wasn't like loving myself, I mean, there was a little bit of that, but it was more so stuck in my old ways. And really what it takes is the awareness to be able to step out of that and consciously make the decision to step into a new timeline. Stepping into a new timeline can happen naturally, but sometimes it is a conscious effort. And that's one of the things that I talk about with my clients as well, is you can't just sit around and wait for it to happen. Yes, you can change your energy, but when you change your energy, there is a new action that is going to take place as a result of that. Your reality is created by your thoughts, feelings, and actions is a big one, to be honest. Your thoughts will create the feelings that you feel, and your feelings will create that inspired actions. And that's why a lot of things really stem from our thoughts. And one thing that I also recommend is I do have a mindset shift meditation for this, and it has helped so many people, and I've gotten such amazing feedback on it. The link will be down below. You could check it out at www.thegoddessvortex.com. And that meditation is literally like a game changer, because it really helps to shift your mindset. Once you shift your mindset, you're then able to shift your feelings. And once you shift your feelings, you're then able to shift your action towards things. And I think a big thing for people is the clarity on what they want in life. What do they want, and what is actually stemming from ego versus what is stemming from their highest self? And that's something that you kind of have to sit with and ask questions to yourself of why you want certain things. Why do you want it? And I do encourage you, if anything sounds fun in life, if anything sounds like it's going to bring you so much joy, do it and figure out why you're not doing it. And then consciously make the effort to go after what you want in life. When we're self-sabotaging, I think sometimes we don't really recognize what we could potentially have, which is good. We're always thinking of the negative things. Oh, I'll get to it later. Oh, this, oh, that, you know, and it's just like, okay, but if I did it now, who would I be? Who would I become? And can I enjoy the process of becoming my highest self? Another form of self-sabotage could be hanging out with people who aren't in alignment with you, and also allowing yourself to be distracted by other people as well. This has happened to me very recently, where someone very close in my life was distracting me to the point where I was getting absolutely nothing done. And it was very, very difficult because this person was very close to me, and I did have to cut them out of my life, not because of just that, but because of other reasons as well. And I noticed that when you don't fully cut somebody out of your life, you can allow yourself to be distracted by them. And it's not even necessarily distracted by them, but it's also distracted by the thought of them as well. When people or things are living rent-free in your brain, it's taking up space and it's taking up energy. You consciously have to make the decision to stop thinking about said person, said thing. When things leave your life, it's important to grieve, yes. And this is why it's important to grieve, so that when you are living in your most joyful moments of life, you're not constantly thinking about what you once had. You're thinking about what you have in the present moment. You're excited for your future. What I was going through was I was constantly thinking about this person, and also this person like asks me for advice, and there wasn't really a set of boundaries there. And I really had to set some boundaries, because I noticed that I was allowing myself to be distracted by them, and I was blaming it on them, when in reality, nobody is to blame but yourself. When you are distracted by other people, it doesn't matter how close they are to you. If you live with them, it does not matter. You have full control over you. You have full control if you go outside, if you decide to avoid them, if you decide to do other things to keep yourself busy. You have full control over what you do with your time, and you do not have to be there for someone. You do not have to be giving people advice and draining your energy. And that's something that I constantly always dealt with, is I feel like I was always meant to be a coach, but I wasn't meant to be a coach for people in my immediate life. And this is something that I also struggled with, was that I would see people struggling in my life, and they would also come to me with things, and I would coach them through it, which I don't mind doing, but when it takes up a ton of my energy, it was draining my energy. Now I'm a higher self-activation coach, where I actually get paid to coach people, and instead of it draining my energy, it's a different dynamic. When you're constantly giving advice to your friends or your family, and they're talking to you every single day, and your energy is just being drained, that's a form of self-sabotage, allowing your energy to be drained by others. And it is not other people's fault. It is your responsibility to set boundaries with people. If you do not have the energy to give to people, if you do not have the energy to be giving advice to people, or to be giving your time to people, or to be giving things to people, it is your responsibility to take your energy back and set boundaries. And that's something that I was not doing for a long time, which I noticed was self-sabotage. I was doing it to myself, and I was trying to blame other people for it, when in reality, what I had to do was take my desire to help people and put it somewhere else, and not put it in my immediate life. Yes, I still give advice to my friends. Yes, I still am there for people when they need me, but I'm not constantly like having my energy drained because of it. I set boundaries, and I have time frames of when I do this, and when I don't know, it's hard to explain, but when I used to do this before, it consumed my life. It really consumed my life, because what I felt was, I felt that somebody else's well-being was a reflection of my well-being. And I felt like if I didn't support the really close people in my life, and if I didn't give people advice in my life that were very close to me, it would mean that I would suffer. And it would mean that I wasn't safe, and it would mean that I wasn't taken care of. And it's hard not to give an example of this because it's so personal, and I don't want to like put a situation on blast or anything, but just know that there's usually a much deeper reason as to why you're self-sabotaging. And sometimes it really could be out of fear of your safety and well-being. And we really have to take a look at it and notice, am I really going to be unsafe if I stop doing this thing? Am I really going to not be okay if I don't do this? And I think sometimes we take things and situations way too seriously, and we equate it to our sense of well-being. Now, another way that I have also self-sabotaged is doom scrolling. My self-sabotages like to come in the form of distractions usually. And this stems from not wanting to deal with your own shit, which is what I talked about in the beginning, is it's important to grieve, because if you don't grieve over your old life, you will not be able to fully move forward and enjoy the blessings that are coming to you. So it's all a balance, right? And there's a place and a time to grieve, and there's a place and a time to live your best life. But what I want you to understand is when we are constantly distracting ourselves from living our dream reality, we're self-sabotaging. We are not getting anywhere by distracting ourselves. And one thing that I really had to limit when it came to my screen time, because I would constantly be scrolling through Instagram, and the way that I would sort of make up for it is I would call it market research, because I do social media and I wanted to see what other people were doing and what was working and what was not. And I think there's a time and a place for market research, yes. And if you decide to do that, then set a timer. But now I really only allow myself to go on social media for a set period of time a day, which is usually around 30 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on how much I would like to interact with others. And I set the intention to interact with my community. Instead of being distracted by reels on social media and by all these different things, I now decide to set the intention to be involved with my community and to connect with others. And that has helped me a lot, because instead of doing that, I used to just doom scroll. And I literally, like, consciously in my brain, like, I would look at certain content and I'd be like, this is rotting my brain. This is like brain rot content. And this is like not helping me in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it's hurting me. Like, you know, those videos that are just super surface level and just not for your well-being at all. Yeah, it was like that type of shit. And I would bounce around from like Instagram to Facebook to YouTube shorts to TikTok. I wasn't really a big TikTok person, but it's all the same. So, and what I also do now is I limit what I watch. I don't watch things for entertainment anymore. I know, shocker. And honestly, I love it, because I now am entertained by improving myself, by self-improvement content, which is podcast episodes and, you know, different self-improvement things or tarot readings on YouTube. And I'll watch certain things on YouTube in the morning when I'm getting ready, or, you know, anything like that. But if I'm not getting ready for the day and I'm not doing something at the same time of watching, like, or listening to a podcast, then I don't. Like I said, self-sabotage can come in many different forms. And I think for me personally, my self-sabotage has come from forms of distraction. And what I've really had to sit with is, why am I distracting myself? What about my life do I not like that I need to distract myself so much? And sometimes a good distraction is needed, right? But there are forms of healthy distractions and forms of unhealthy distractions. And what I would consider as healthy distractions is going for a walk in nature and listening to music, working out at the gym, or even going and hanging out with friends, not drinking. Don't self-sabotage by consuming things that are not good for you. Reading a book. You know, there are healthy forms of distraction. I totally get it if you just cannot handle the pain that you're dealing with. I get it. Grief comes in waves, and it should come in waves, because we are not meant to deal with everything at once. And I don't really suggest you deal with everything at once. Now, I'm the type of person where I'm an all or nothing type of gal, and I will literally like just put myself in situations where I need to cry it out for like a week straight. And yeah, that's very intense, and not everyone can do that. We have obligations in life. But as far as that goes, if you are going to distract yourself, I completely understand. And I think it's necessary sometimes. But understand the difference between a healthy distraction and a not healthy distraction. Go for a walk, read a book, a self-help book. not something that's like gonna give you nightmares at night. You know, go to a yoga class, go to a workout class, hang out with people you love. If you need a distraction, it's okay. Nobody's shaming you for a distraction. But when it comes to self-sabotage, there needs to be a balance with our distractions, right? And now I look at my healthy distractions as things that are helping me as well, because I do things that are very self-help related. And I feel like when we do those things, we are more proud of ourselves and we feel more accomplished as well. And those happy hormones are running in our system, and it doesn't leave room for the sad hormones to take over. And that's also another thing when grieving as well. I think there's a time to grieve, yes, of our old life, but there's also a time to get back in the swing of things and do self-care and make sure that we're eating good and making sure that we're okay and, you know, making sure that we're not falling into a full-on depression, right? And that's another thing that I've had to notice as well, is when I was grieving very recently, I totally like gave up my morning routine. I didn't give it up consciously. It was like a subconscious thing, and I was sleeping in until like 9 a.m. And that might not sound like very late to everyone, but for me, like 9 a.m. is very late for me. I used to wake up at 5 a.m. and waking up at 9 a.m. is like not a vibe for me. I really do not like waking up at 9 a.m. And I was getting down on myself about it, and I was getting depressed over it. And I was like, oh, I'm being so shit right now and all this stuff. And I was being really hard on myself. And then I decided to take a conscious break and not fill myself with unhealthy distractions like I was doing. So I decided to read like 3 different books in 3 days and just allow myself to rest. And you know what's so funny is when I allowed myself to rest and I wasn't butthurt over my situation anymore, I also wasn't hustling, I noticed that everything started to work out in my favor. It gave room for me to step into my new timeline. When I was resting and I was reading and I got in a better headspace and I wasn't so concerned of my morning routine, I wasn't so concerned of my night routine, I wasn't concerned over my structure of life or what I was doing in my business, I started to get more clients and my money started to skyrocket, like literally skyrocket. And I overall just noticed that I will be okay if I am me. I will thrive if I am me. All this self-sabotaging stuff, it comes from the ego. The ego doesn't want you to change. Like, the ego's scared of change because the ego just wants to keep you safe. And it's good to have a conversation with your ego and say, hey, I get it, but like, no, we gotta go this way this time. Because all this other shit was not working out for us. Maybe it worked out in a certain period of time, but we're awake now. We need to move this way now. And that's what I'm going to leave you with today, is to move towards your higher self and Try not to self-sabotage and try not to distract yourself in unhealthy ways. We are all just spiritual beings living in a human body, and we are not on this earth very long. So what I encourage you to do is enjoy your journey. And I wish, and you know what? I would say I wish someone would have told me that, but people told me that, and I didn't enjoy my journey along the way, okay? I'm just now starting to enjoy my journey. But really, enjoy your journey, because I am telling you, you will have everything that you want. You will have everything that you're desiring. If you are desiring it, it is meant for you. You would not be desiring certain situations or outcomes if it was not meant for you. But a lot of our desires come with letting go of our old identity. And again, self-sabotage may be the root cause as to why you're not living your dream life. And that is what I'll leave you with today. Thank you so, so much for watching the first episode of the Self-Help Podcast. Again, my name is Kayla, and you can follow me on social media. The links will be down in the description below. I would absolutely love to answer any questions. If you have a comment that you'd like to share, please leave it below so that we can connect and grow our beautiful community here. So again, thank you so, so much for listening, and be sure to hit that subscribe button. It would mean so much to me, since this is a brand new podcast. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, I don't really know the logistics yet, but do what you gotta do to show your support on there, okay? So thank you so, so much. And I will talk to you in the next episode. Have a beautiful, beautiful week.